Had you asked me an hour ago if I was ready to jump on a call and record a podcast with you, I might have blocked you and deleted your contact information.
Oh, shit. That's harsh.
Nothing to do with you at all.
Sure.
I was in a particular programmer's
You were rabbit. In a mood.
I was in the foxhole. I was deep in the foxhole, mate.
Okay.
I was several problems into doing something that I thought was going to be fairly simple, and it was getting to the for fuck's sake, point in the proceedings, where I'm writing for fuck's sake to ChatGPT to tell it to just fix the problem, and it's like it's doing its best.
I'm glad you pulled yourself out of that. Sake.
What? For the sake of our friendship. You in a funk?
I feel like it's putting it strongly. I feel a little bit better than that. In fact, I feel better than I feel like I have in a while. Like I'm way less stressed about work. I landed that job. I'm so thrilled about that. And that's quite a relief. And, there could be a little bit of like aftershock of that, just being like, I don't know.
Yes, après le deluge.
I had put myself in a position where I was sure it was going to come in. I just wasn't confirmed yet. And now it is like as close to confirmed as it can be without signing the contract, which as we know through this podcast, if you sign the contract, it doesn't mean you're going to get the job and the money. That aside, my contract is much better now. Mm-hmm. And feeling better about that. I don't know. It's just, part of it is I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Went to sleep at 11 and woke up early before my alarm. Margaret and I are sleeping in the loft right now. And because I'm working in the bedroom there was some, just had to do some remodeling in the bedroom. And I'm drinking a gallon of water a day plus. Wake up, very much have to pee in the morning, and
that's a long way down.
I have to climb down the ladder and then walk to the bathroom, and so by the time I get there, and I'm like, okay, so it's like 30 minutes before my alarm is going to go off. Do I climb back up into the loft and go to sleep? Try to go to sleep. I'm not actually going to get to sleep because it takes me a while. It's not going to be restful even if I do get to sleep. Or should I just stay down here and do some yoga? So I did some yoga, but still, I'm missing that sleep feel, So, anyways, that's way too much about my morning.
No, I'm with you, man. This morning was the first in a long while where I don't know why I was doing this to myself. But I transferred the cats to more pouches.
Okay.
So they have two pouches of food and some, biscuits in the afternoon and some kibble. And I don't know why I did that why I arranged it in that particular order, because what it's meant is that now, because of daylight saving time, BST, Bailey, it's constantly hungry an hour or 40 minutes before it's time to be fed, which means I ain't sleeping my full time. and then I'm waking up frustrated because I'm lying down for 20 minutes going, Bailey, just shut up. And wanting to throw things at her because she doesn't know that it's not feeding time yet.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen with the automated feeder. Somehow she... Once they get back into the routine
cycle of it,
she knows. I mean, I guess it doesn't take even a cat can figure this out. Like, no human does not need to get up in order for me to have food, so I do not need to tell the human to get up because food will arrive via the digital mother.
Yep.
So this morning, the digital mother, I even set it earlier. Bailey was still complaining, but still, it's, you know, it's better than it was. yeah, she will become readjusted to the digital mother.
Have you considered earplugs?
That's nowhere near good enough. I'm still going to hear her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still going to hear her. Especially if she comes into the bedroom.
Well, yeah. What if you close the door and put earplugs
on? Oh no! You don't know. Oh, you don't know. We don't close doors in this flat, mate. You were lucky when you stayed here.
Well, yeah, because then you were out there. You were in the main room.
Yeah.
So they were coming to you.
Roscoe will not allow a door to be closed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he cannot abide it. He will. No. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, I'm absolutely full of beans. I'm just like wee, and I'm enjoying myself.
That's awesome.
After a weird week, we had our waffle on Wednesday.
Yeah.
One of the things that I mentioned to you that I discovered, I think that day, was that someone I'd had a coffee with 10 days prior, and who had hooked me up with some potential work, suddenly died.
Man, that's...
And he was a not inconsiderable individual and... is kind of responsible for you know, low level for a couple of things, really, in terms of people I've met over the years and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, used to work in the same office and all sorts of business. And, it was a blow, man.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because you just think, we were just emailing, I had a Facebook Messenger conversation with him a few days, you know, like,
yeah,
woof. Yeah, it sort of knocked me for six, and then mm-hmm. what then ended up being one of those, and it's one of those things where you just sort of go, eh. It was like mm-hmm. just being a whiny little whiner, mm-hmm. But we were having a conversation on the WhatsApp on my parents or on my family WhatsApp group,
uh-huh.
and I told them that someone who, you know, recently helped me, suggested me for some work, had just died. And I got a couple of like reaction emojis, and like one was a shock. The other one was a question of, was he young or whatever? And do you know the thing that really irked me? And it's like, it's one of those, like it's a proper little kind of thing to get annoyed at. But I was irked that nobody asked me if I was okay.
Yeah, man. Are you okay?
Like, I just... You know, no one, and not since has anyone just, and the amount of death and stuff that happens in our family, and me and my brother especially, you know, are you okay? Is there anything you need? And it's like, not that there was, but you know, it's just
nice to be asked.
Yeah,
are you okay?
Turns out I find that important.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a nine's place to feel forgotten and to feel unimportant. Are you okay?
Well, there you go. Thank you. Yes. Yes, I am. And you did ask. But, you know, the answer is like, yes, but a bit shaken up, you know, because that was the answer. It's like, I'm okay, but I'm a bit, you know, and I was a bit sort of shaken up for the day because it's like, it was such a, you know, bloody, I mean, it, you know, the grand scheme of things, what it means is, Hopefully there will be a memorial for him and we'll go and pay some respects. And this is someone who will leave, if not a legacy, then will leave a hole. He will leave a vacant space. Like he's someone who, in small ways, I think impacted and touched a lot of people. In kind of doing some of the stuff that I'm aiming to do myself. And, you know, he was at the forefront in 2008 of helping people understand what the hell social media was and what to do. And back in the days when flip cameras used to be a thing and you could do almost sort of citizen journalist type stuff. Yeah. He, you know, he was an ex-journalist, ex-BBC, like he knew all that stuff. And he was helping people work this out for free. And I came to one of the sessions. He used to work, he used to run these social media surgeries. And anyone from like a community organization or whatever could turn up and learn about how to get to grips with digital stuff.
That's cool.
And so, you know, that and a few other things means he will leave, you know, he left a footprint.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get an opportunity to celebrate him. So, Nick Booth, you were a singular dude, my dude. And, yeah, safe travels, man. Oof. Mm.
Well, speaking of eulogies, we've been watching the newest season of Black Mirror.
Yeah, we have.
So there's an episode with the delightful Paul Giamatti, who now I feel like a fun connection. When, yes. When I watch him now, I think of you,
yes.
Because we watched the delightful, what was that?
Winter, the Holdovers?
The Holdovers, yeah.
Curl
oh
your
gosh.
Toes! Curl your toes!
So, yeah. So Paul Giamatti is this character in this episode where he is not quite a long-lost love of a character that dies. They had a romance, and... there's this new age service where you put a little thing on your temple and it can turn your eyes into scanners so that you can look back at photographs and relive them for a eulogy service, for a memorial service that other people can then have an immersive experience at the death of some loved one. And you know, as photos and memories and stuff tend to do, it brings up a lot of emotions and stuff, and goes through this experience. The whole episode, fucking fantastic. But the part that really stood out to me, one of the parts that stood out to me that I wanted to talk to you about, was at the end, and here's the spoilers, which is like not spoilers at all, but he walks up to the memorial service,
mm-hmm.
and he's like peeking in the door while she's playing the cello. All the people attending the memorial service have their little temple gadgets on, and their eyes are glazed over, and they're slumped back and head up, and just, you know, mind-numbingly in the memorial. Even though they're all there in person, they're on their device. They're not there.
Mm.
And that struck me because Margaret and I had just gone to her old church. Now, okay, so as we've been discussing a lot lately, I have a pasta, and I go to Imago Dei. I have a church I regularly go to. I actually get excited about it. I enjoy it very much. I'm not Christian, but it's fun to observe, and I like that church for a bunch of reasons. One of them being the engagement of the whole crowd, the engagement of everybody that comes. It all feels very present. We are there to be there, and it's beautiful. Margaret took me to because it's Easter week, and it's there's like a whole bunch of stuff happening at churches right now, and you know, Margaret's been getting more excited about church. And since it's such an exciting week in church life, she's like, well, let's just do all of it. Let's. She's just like going all in. And her old church, had some different events than our new church has, and so she's been like going back and forth between the two. So she invited me to one of, it was like a spoken word, service on Palm Sunday. So we went to that early in the morning. It was interesting. It was cool to see her old church. I had been once or twice before, but this was like a different, it wasn't in the sanctuary. It was in a smaller church on the side, and it was super structured. Very, I mean, Imago, our church is also structured, but it's way more formal, way more dressed up, way more like stained glass windows and stone walls and hard pews and like rigid feeling and cold and classic church kind of feel. Whereas Imago is very much modern and warm and cozy kind of feel. And so like that and that's all fine. It's just not my scene, but that's cool. So Trinity, that's her old church. It prides itself also on accepting everybody and kind of trying to be progressive. And one of the ways that they try to be progressive is to not waste paper. Hey, that's cool. We're not going to print out our service on papers. You can just scan this QR code and get it on your phone. Okay, interesting thought in theory. Let's see it in practice. In practice, everybody's just staring at their phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there looking around because we get there like just as it's starting. So we just take a seat in the back and half the people or more, their faces are lit up blue from mm-hmm. their screen. They're looking down instead of up and forward. They're curled over. Their face is blue. They have resting screen face so that they're, you know, this looks kind of slack and looking kind of dead. They look cold and blue and lifeless. It was striking to me. Like I commented to her, right after we were there, and it's stuck with me. And then I see this episode of Black Mirror in a church. Everybody is just slack faced, eyes glazed, facing, you know, they're facing up instead of down because they're not holding a device, and it's on your head now. Isn't that better if we can look up instead of down? It was just the same thing. And I was just like, what are we doing? We're living in this, you know, it's a mirror, you know, Black Mirror. It's a mirror. It's current day. It's not the future. They're just presenting it as the future to reflect the present. And I get that, but it's like, wake up us. Like that's what we're doing right now. Oh, it was gross.
Wake up and open your eyes, which is the refrain from a book that I can't remember if we've discussed tonight. I can't remember if I may have mentioned it to you, but we haven't discussed it on the pod, which is a very Stephen King-esque book about the times that we are in right now and the polarization of left and right and woke and not woke and all that mm-hmm. stuff. It's a really let's say it's not interesting because it's kind of a very very simple premise and it mm-hmm. kind of just it's like a if I think about that quiche that we had
keeper quiche,
yeah. So you know, once you take the pastry away, you've just got this big thick sort of layer of stuff. You know, like a tall cheesecake. It's like,
yeah,
there is a bit of structure and then it's like the flavor is very strong and it's sort of very there. And like, there's not a lot of nuance. and it's kind of like that. So it's kind of dense and very, it's flavored yeah, it's a very strong flavor, but not particularly subtle. But it's it was quite good. And when you said wake up, that's the refrain from this thing. It's almost the sort of trigger phrase is wake up and open your eyes. I do just want to acknowledge because I felt it when I was watching him. Mm. Man, I think Paul Giamatti's underrated.
Oh my God, I could not agree more. What a fantastic
performance.
Actor. Insane. So good.
So good. Like, that is one of the, I mean, the character in that he played in The Holdovers, Curly Toes, like, great character, and he played it really well. Yeah. And that's him being his sort of big bombastic best, and that's Paul Giamatti having fun, and being, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, and being kind of, it's funny, it's kind of bitter and angry, but in a different way than.
Yes.
And it's a completely so different much, color and shade of flavor.
So
of
much more human.
Yeah.
So much more just in the little expressions and the little turns of phrase and the stopping and starting and the just sort of.
Yeah.
He It's so wonderful. There's so a few real. People.
Yeah.
So real. There's a few people who I appreciate for that. There's an actress or an actor here called Nicola Walker, who is one of my favorite. I know it sounds dumb to say female actor because we have the word actress, but I think we should be phasing the word out. So female actor. She's been in lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of things. And she's wonderful. And she just, the thing she does, she just does it so well. And it's that same kind of thing. And, your man who was in unfortunately in The Hobbit, and The Office and, Martin Freeman. He's another one who, you know, he plays everyman a lot of the time because he's very good at it. And he was, you know, slightly sort of rubber faced and in The Office to begin with, but like
The UK Office.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm like, I don't remember him in The Office.
The Office. which I will say, The American Office, far more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
It's, you know, full of joy and full of lovely things and great relationships. And it's a lovely, cozy watch.
Yeah.
Very different show from The Office. Yeah. or as Phoebe from Friends, the actress, called it, the European Office. She once referred to the original Office as the European Office. Like, oh, Lisa Kudrow, no, we don't. Anyway. I digress a lot.
Where were we? Paul Giamatti somehow?
Paul Giamatti, like, absolutely brilliant. Like,
yeah.
When you, yeah. And it's like, it's such a remarkable thing to see a performance and to know how good it is, but also not be taken out of the film.
Yeah.
That's rare. Wonderful. Yeah, I think he is, he should win perhaps a BAFTA. It's been a good series.
It has, yeah. Today is the last day of Lent as we record, and so I've completed my 40 days of no YouTube.
Oh yeah,
and
well done.
I was telling Margaret, like, I think now it's time to start 40 days of no YouTube and no Reddit.
Okay,
that's all right. That's what I'm going to try and do.
Okay,
because. Now I haven't gone through it. Like I don't really miss it.
Yeah, and YouTube's it's not one of my vices. And lots of people I know it is, and not just vices. Like it's not even a go. Like, you know, if I think about turning on the TV, it's just not something I go to. But I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. But I can also.
I mean,
see...
for me, I was using it. I believe as much as you were/are using TikTok. It's like, it's just a different, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was watching shorts and longs.
Yeah.
And I do miss, like, I miss the I know there's been a couple James Hoffman videos, and
today
I would love
we're going
to
be
those.
Talking very earnestly about coffee, and we're going to be testing out different coffee machines. I love his speaking voice. It's so lovely.
Oh my, it is so charming.
It's very
so
enjoyable.
It is super enjoyable. That's a comforting. The guy, for a long time I was watching, I don't even drink coffee anymore, and I'm just enjoying the processes and the, like, reviews of machines I would never use and all of it. But yeah, he has just such an enjoyable presentation. But yeah, now I find myself kind of turning to Reddit and just, I had been just checking in to see if other people had messaged me, because I've posted a lot of things about, like, I'm really active in the Bean Protocol subreddit and fibromyalgia subreddit previously, and people reach out to me a lot with questions about getting on the protocol and how it's been. How for me, like, over time, they're checking when, like, is it still effective? How is this and that? And I like to, you know, kind of timely get back to people with an update or with some advice or whatever. And yeah, I enjoy that very much. But what happens is I get on there to see if anybody's messaged, and then I look at the, you know, the things in my feed, and then I start scrolling my feed, and then I spend half an hour on it, and it's like, I didn't need to lose that time. I didn't really gain. I'm like, I interesting things come up and I learn stuff and yeah, whatever. But also half an hour of my life just disappeared. And I was remarking to Margaret yesterday, the day before, I feel like it's been a really long week. I feel like it's kind of actually 2 weeks. And what she and I kind of noticed is like, yeah, without distracting ourselves, we have way more time in the day.
Yeah.
Not just like actual time to be able to do stuff because we're not distracted, but we perceive time slower in general.
Mm.
And, mm-hmm. and we like it. So
yeah. You're spending time more consciously.
Yeah.
You know, and you are, yeah, being more conscious as that time passes. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. The Reddit thing is interesting to me in as much as it's not as if you're necessarily doom scrolling, like you're there and you're helping other people and all that kind of stuff. Why does that feel like something that you...
Well, I'm in the Marvel subreddit.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
In
okay.
The Enneagram subreddit. And like when I say active, I mean that's where I post more is the Beam Protocol and other things. That's where I answer the most questions and I feel the most helpful.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking towards for the red dot to see if I've have any interaction that I should respond to. But when I'm in my feed is bigger than that.
Yeah.
So I could just like dumb down and curate my feed even more than I already have. And I have substantially, like I was in the Marvel Studios spoilers subreddit so that I could be spoiled on things that I'm probably not even going to see. And it's like, what am I even doing? And like,
I didn't know you were that into the Marvel stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, I really enjoy how dumb it is.
You don't have to qualify it by saying it's dumb. You can enjoy it. It's fine.
I do very much enjoy it. And it is also dumb. Like, the two things can be true. I love it how Natalie on the Anxious Love Coach podcast, nearly every episode she states, like, it's kind of one of her catchphrases, is that two things can be true. And I just really love that kind of mantra.
Yeah.
Holding space for the thing that we want to believe and the thing that is also true that we might not also want to believe. We still need to talk about the powder lady at some point.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, we do. Before we do that, I just want to have a quick, I just want to do a quick type five on Easter.
Oh yeah. You have an Easter.
Feel Easter.
Tell me about it.
I feel somewhat gaslit by Easter.
Oh, okay.
Over the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Hmm.
Like, I'm sure Easter was never this much of a thing. Suddenly, it's become like a big thing. And I, every year it happens, and every year I remark on the fact, and I'm still not up on it. I'm still like, I haven't bought any fucking Easter eggs for my nephews. I haven't got a clue. I don't want to buy them eggs because they'll have so many anyway. I am baffled by it. Like, I remember as a kid, it was a thing. It was a bit of a thing.
Yeah. Wait, how old are your nephews?
10 and 13-ish.
So that makes sense that in the past decade, Easter would be bigger for you because of them.
Yes, it's a fair point. But also, like, the way you're describing it as well.
Sure.
Like, I don't mean for me, it feels in the zeitgeist more of a thing.
Yeah, I don't feel like I should be a barometer for that, considering, like, I'm not being dragged to church, but I would not be going to church if it weren't for the person I'm with.
Yeah.
Like I got invited by her through a friend.
Yeah.
Like, and now I happen to, like, now I'm bringing my mom and Carl and Cameron are also coming to Easter service. But like, so we're all five of us are coming because one person invited one person, you know, I don't know, but it's not, it hasn't been a big thing for me in my past 10 years. That's for sure.
Sure.
I think it's all for kids and churches.
Yeah.
And oh,
yeah,
so, well, you know, you're close to some kids and I'm close to a church.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, maybe nothing's changed, but it's like, I don't know. It's odd. There's the whole shrinkflation thing now where all the Easter eggs are tiny and cost the earth.
Your system, I think, for Easter eggs is different than here.
Ah.
So at least in my experience, and as always, correct me if I'm wrong. Here,
I'm not ready to end.
We buy a bag of empty Easter eggs, of empty plastic eggs that pop apart and are kind of like connected by a little tab sometimes they're not. And then you fill that with, like, you buy a big bag of like Brock's jelly beans.
Right.
And you put those in there and snap it closed, or you know, it's like, yeah, whatever Easter branded version of the same candy confections. But it sounds like what you buy are different. Explain to the listener what the UK Easter egg is like.
The UK Easter egg is, and I really do enjoy me an Easter egg. So usually it is, or almost always it is, associated with an existing chocolate brand. So you will have the Kit Kat Easter egg, or my favorite will be the Kit Kat Chunky Easter egg. And so what that is an egg, to which we will come in a moment. And then...
How big is this egg?
I said we will come to that.
So Hold your questions.
Yes, I will not be taking questions at this time. So we have ourselves a cardboard box with an egg suspended in like a plastic, you know, death to the planet, you know, holding thing, and a Kit Kat. Back in the day, there used to be full-size Kit Kats, and you might get two. Sometimes, if the egg was very good, you would get stuff inside the egg as well. That's not really happening anymore. So now what you're getting is, it used to be that you might get an egg the size of, I want to say smaller than a soccer ball, but bigger than a volleyball ball. Like, it's, you know, it's a good, it was a good size, like, you know, a good sort of, you know, the distance between
like almost the size of your head,
my forehead and where my mustache is. So you'd have a good size of egg. It's kind of curved and crimped, and it's just chocolate, and that's it. And it's made of usually it's a slightly cheaper chocolate, but I really like, there's something about the texture and the curvature of Easter egg chocolate that I really enjoy. So what typically you do is it's wrapped in foil, and then you bash it with your fist, or you throw it against something, and then it splits open, and you have lots of delicious shards of chocolate.
Shards. Yeah. Title.
Title. And I say, back in the day, sometimes you would get stuff within, you know, maybe you would open up the egg and there would be some chocolate buttons, you know, maybe in a bag, maybe not, that kind of stuff. And usually you would get like a chocolate bar as well. And now they're kind of grim and austere and disappointing.
Mm.
We have chocolate bunnies as well. They tend to be solid, you know, where an Easter egg is hollow. You get a chocolate bunny, and that's pretty solid. Usually, you sort of, you know, you could do that with it. And then the other option, which is quite fun, is you can get little mini eggs, either branded Cadbury's mini eggs or just like eggs. And they're, you know, also chocolate, because chocolate all the way. And you might get a bunch of those and hide them in places.
Yeah.
And then kids go for an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easter egg that's hunt.
Classic.
The diction is important there.
And so and those so Cadbury that's... eggs. Can I ask questions now?
now I am
open the floor.
The press conference is now open for questions.
What's that feedback?
Yeah.
I love it.
Excuse me. Yeah. No, sorry. We are now ready for questions. Whoa.
Those Cadbury eggs.
Yes.
They are also hollow.
Yeah.
And they're the small.
Oh,
even
sorry. No, the little mini eggs are not. The little mini eggs are just straight up full of chocolate.
Just straight chocolate. So
yeah.
I remember asking you this last time or last year, and I didn't feel like I got a clear answer or not.
And that was not, evasive.
Maybe, I don't know. But do you have the Cadbury cream egg?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that not a big thing?
Oh, yeah. But the problem with the Cadbury's cream egg is if you made it any bigger, people would die.
I mean, oh, yeah. It's just fucking so it's so you know what concentrated. I mean?
There's not a lot like, that they would do. They might make a Cadbury's cream egg Easter egg, but it's just the same standard thing as everything else.
Well,
you would think it's, because it's called cream egg, it might be special. But no, you would get like one or two normal cream eggs and then a big egg, but the big egg is just a hollow egg.
Okay, so you get
have to interject very quickly. There is a TikTok creator at the moment who is making foods but big. And he made he was like, what if a hamburger but big? And so he made an Easter egg, a cream egg. And it's fucking huge. It weighs the size of a small child. And it is full of the goop that they put in cream eggs, which it turns out just straight sugar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sugar and dye.
So
that's the Cadbury cream egg is that's my particular favorite Easter treat. It's for us, it's the size of a chicken egg.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit smaller.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And so it sounds like y'all have a box package set thing that that I don't see that around as much here. I mean, I don't go to like regular grocery stores as much as I used to, but I don't remember them being there either in the past many years.
The shelves are lined with them. Yeah.
No, we're all mixing and match.
And there's like Marvel ones and all that stuff as well.
I mean, we do have like an egg shell, not egg shell, but like a hollow eggs.
Yep.
They're usually like the size of like, your hand kind of curled up in the shape of an egg or whatever. Like you could hold it in your hand. Mm-hmm. It's the size of like two mugs, like topped on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Also the solid bunnies and hollow bunnies if they're big. But they're not bundled with another candy. Mm-hmm. Like you just get the other candy separately.
Yeah.
They want to charge you twice.
Yeah, of course. And then they want to add sales tax on top to be confusing. I can't remember if yours one of is yours one of those where you have to just guess how much else that you've just got to pay when you get to the cashier. I can't remember if that was the case for you.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Okay. So,
you mean like in the bulk section if you're like labeling your own stuff?
No. So in the UK, as you would have imagined, when you see a price tag. And I know there is a name for this. I'm slightly being facetious, but when you buy something in the UK, it has a price tag, and you take that item to as we would say the till to the cashier, and the amount that you pay is the amount of the it's the number that you saw on the little sticker.
Tax is hidden. We live in Oregon is a sales tax free state. There's no free sales tax. We do not charge sales tax.
Yes,
which is great.
Yes,
in terms
so
of
for us we do, clarity. But it's incorporated into the price.
Yeah, and if that were the case here too, I think it wouldn't be so problem. It's a stupid system where you don't know the cost of a thing until
and
you
that's,
get
that's
to
what
go
I
pay
remember
for it.
It going into Florida and I think Texas was the same. You go and buy a thing and it's like,
why is this
I just
more
gotta
than...
guess how much money I owe you now because like I don't know.
Yep,
it's fucking mental.
It
and
is
the, like
it
life.
Is.
life is so hard for you guys in such small little ways.
Yeah.
In so
true.
You have to go to university for 4 years. You don't get any holidays when you're at work. Like, one of the things I have realized over the years is like, y'all ain't got it that easy.
No.
Life for Americans is actually pretty tough. And you've got to figure out like, I mean, I got myself tied in so many knots when I was with you about tipping. And trying to do it right and trying to get the right number and not insult someone and like, oh my God, it's so much extra work, cognitive load that you just have to walk around with. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you wanted to know about the lady with the powder.
Tell me about the powder lady.
So a couple of weeks ago, I get an email, and it's from a journalist, and she's like, very glad I found you. I'm really looking for...
Sounds bad from the beginning. Oh, I'm so glad I found you.
I'm so glad I found you. Oh, God. Thank God. I'm really glad. I'm looking for an honest developer. And you seem like just the sort of person. I've got this website that I want to build, and I want to expand it, and this, that, and the other. And okay, cool, right, that's fine. This sounds like ideal. And I check her out, and she seems fine. She's running a CIC, which is community interest company like mine, where the idea is you can make all the money in the world, but you put the majority of that back into the community. And so she's got that going on, and so I think, oh, cool, all right. And so we have a chat, and this is last week, I think. And I think I've talked to you before about how sometimes whether it's a Zoom call or you just meet someone, and this has happened to me over Skype, not even like seeing someone in the seeing someone's face, you just instantly go, I think I like you. You seem quite charming. And I remember when I did one of the early days of doing List Envy, there was a lady called Jenny. Jenny interviewed me for her podcast, and then I interviewed her for mine. And it was so easy. It was just such a lovely, easy conversation.
Yeah.
And just, I was like thoroughly charmed, and it was wonderful. And I had that a few weeks ago with someone that I'm now doing some work for. And so she jumps on and... she starts telling me, I sort of open up with, tell me why you're here. I always like to hear it from the client. Yes, we've had our email conversation and I've read some stuff, but like, I always want to hear like in your own words, what are you here? Cause sometimes stuff has changed.
Did you ever watch the drama, Nip Tuck?
I used to love it. Yeah. I bounced off like the last season, but I loved it. Yeah.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of that. Anyways, carry on.
Yes, I love it. And so she starts telling me about how she's a top journalist. It was already like...
just... okay.
Tell me about that reaction.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay.
I'm laughing. I don't know too much more of I might know the whole story. I don't know, but like presenting yourself that way.
Yeah.
Who says that? Who even thinks of themselves that way? Let alone speaks of it that way. Like unless you're boasting unwarrantedly.
Mm-hmm. Which, and, if you have to talk in certain terms, then maybe, so she tells me she's written for all these different publications and that's all fine. And then she, COVID happens. She talks, she's telling me about businesses or whatever she set up, and this publication that she'd set up, and then COVID happens and a bunch of stuff. And then she gets... I don't know if she actually got the Rona. I think she got the vaccine and then is adamant that the vaccine, she had what she calls an allergic reaction to the vaccine. Okay. What probably happened is she got a little dose of COVID and it was unpleasant, but okay, whatever, it's fine. she reckons it did a whole number on her, which, you know, I can't speak to her personal experience. If that's what happened, that's what happened. That's fine.
It does happen.
Yeah. And so it was all the vaccine's fault. Specifically AstraZeneca. She wanted to point that out. And so she had all this immune trouble, mm-hmm. and she was couldn't work and laid off, and like a lot of this, it was a lot. And you and I have our own, like, I don't know, complicated stories. They're parts of our lives that are complicated, and long. And I think when we talk about them, and if we, you know, if I catch myself doing this, I think I usually catch on pretty quick and try and flip things, but I don't think we necessarily position ourselves as the victim.
Not really, no.
And this was a lot of victim talk.
Yeah.
This is all this awful, you know, and telling me about these awful things that happened to her.
Yeah.
Which again, like, I don't know, one of those weird things, like those are words that you other people say, like you don't say, you know.
Yeah.
Fine. And then she discovers this, what I can only understand to be a sugar water, which is quite literally what a placebo is, but okay. It's presented by this Dr. Ramachandran. It's not Ramachandran, but it's Raja Ramahadran, something like that. I end up looking it up. at that moment, my sort of spidey senses start tingling a little bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she's saying how it's this wondrous cure, and she keeps taking it, and it's a little tincture you take under the tongue. And she showed me taking it, which, I mean,
she demonstrated for you on the call how she takes a tincture under her tongue.
Yes. Walk that thought through with me, because I'm wondering if we're at the same point.
My thoughts are how do you express a slack jaw hitting the floor? Just like, what? Why would
yes?
She
it's cooler.
She's contacting you. Mm-hmm. To build a website for her.
Yeah.
Is she trying to sell you on the thing?
We might get to that. We will get to that.
So that sounds like, it sounds like fucking, is it Herbalife or something? Mm-hmm. It sounds like an MLM mm-hmm. type situation where it's like, oh yeah, and once you like this, like you can sell too, and then you just have to give a portion of your proceeds to me. It's like, what's next here? And okay, carry on. Let's just
what the thought that I just had, which I it may have only been half formed on the call, was if something is like medicine, like actually effective, you don't take a dose of it to demonstrate how you take a dose.
Sure.
Because there should be an amount that you should take, and then taking too much of it would be a problem, and it should probably be at a specific time. Like, I wouldn't pop one of my blood pressure medications to show you how I take my blood pressure medications, because it's not time for them yet.
Yeah.
And doing so would be, you know, it's almost as if this thing doesn't do anything. But anyway, as a thought. So she shows me how this thing.
Okay, I would like to not rebut that, because
okay,
what you're taking a medication that is I think of medications differently than yes. food.
Sure.
For instance, and you know, by your description of this being sugar water, that I think of it closer to food than medication.
Yes, and so she kept using the phrase food as medicine. So that is a thing.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, I'm medicinally taking psyllium husk. I'm taking 3 tablespoons. You got to get 15 grams mm-hmm. of soluble fiber per day. That's the thing. So I'm taking 3 tablespoons of psyllium husk. per day.
I loved him in Peaky Blinders.
And I could totally take more. Like, that wouldn't hurt me more psyllium husk. So in that regard, like, and I would demonstrate, okay. I would put a teaspoon or a tablespoon in a glass of water and shake it up and show somebody, like, this is how it's done. It's that easy. You just guzzle it, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't feel like there would be a detrimental effect. So in that regard, in that instance, I'm not on her side, but I understand the perspective.
You're not on her side in that regard.
Yeah.
It's not a case against. That's fair enough. And it wasn't for me at the time. Because I didn't realize what she wanted from me.
But I completely understand the thought of like, wait, but you're saying that this is medicine and why are you just taking an extra one?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah.
But yeah, and she did say, you know, this is a part of a movement of food as medicine. That's fair enough.
Nothing good can just be kept good. Everything has to be fucking bastardized and ruined. That's the way of humanity.
Isn't it just? So she then begins to tell me how great this stuff is and that she's going into
the
business.
The point of food as medicine is that you don't need a fucking product. Sorry, carry on.
No, I love this.
I've got rage in me.
Yeah, I love that side of you.
Okay, sorry. I completely interrupted you, and I don't remember what you were saying, but I was distracted by what was in me, and it's out now, so please.
Well, let's see how much again. More there is. So she proceeds to tell me that she's bought, or she's going to buy, like, several cases of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Which apparently is partly made from a particular water source, and it's got to come from this particular, because it's all about the purity in the water, so it's got to come from this particular water source. I don't know, he's Indian, I don't know if it's in India, but that's what he's saying, and so...
Cool.
So you know that she's going to be one of two people in Europe who are going to be allowed to sell this. There's already a company in either Germany or Scandi somewhere who are apparently okay to be a distributor. And I'm loving that face of yours.
Scandi somewhere,
yeah. Okay, all right. So I can start to see where this is going, and so. She wants to do her quote unquote journalism, which on the face of it, like I looked at her stuff and it's like arts and culture and music and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But she really wants to get into this. And basically she wanted a shop. And she told me at the beginning she wanted a shop. And I was like, cool, right? That's something we can figure out. And I thought, you're like, yeah, you're probably selling... I don't know, like videos or MP3s or whatever. And she wants to sell this tincture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm letting her finish and tell her whole story and tell what she wants and all that kind of stuff. And I'd go, okay, cool. That's great. Thank you. So I'm going to go off and do some research and do some looking around, some due diligence, if you like, to sort of check things out. And she's like, yeah, cool. And then sort of the penny drops and she's like, do you mean about this doctor and the thing? And I'm like, yeah, because I want to know that, like, if I'm enabling the purchase, because that on its own is pretty harmless. I haven't really connected these dots, but like, okay, why should I care? Like, I don't believe in the product. I don't need to believe in the product in order to sell. I mean, you know, I make podcasts for people. I don't necessarily, you know, like I don't actively disagree with things people say, but like, you know, I don't have to be fully bought in order to enable something. But there were a few other things that she talked about that were just little, just like, if not red flags, then just little blips.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was that she likes Joe Rogan. All right.
Yeah, that's an interesting, it's an alarm bell, but also like what is it about Joe Rogan? Like what is it about Joe Rogan that's an alarm bell to you?
Oh, yeah, because he platforms people who say shitty things. Like eugenic type things. sure. And he hides behind, I'm just asking the questions, and that doesn't fly.
Free speech.
Yeah, exactly. it ain't good enough. So yeah, it's you know, it's the anti-trans, it's the anti-vaccine, it's the anti-mask, it's the all the stuff, and it's all couched behind, I'm just asking the questions, I'm just a comedian. Well, have some responsibility, like take some responsibility and challenge people when they need challenging and all that kind of stuff. And then she also says that she's a big fan of RFK Jr., who is a eugenicist. I watched a video of him speaking this week, and it's appalling. Yeah, I mean, there's an independent article that sums up what he said, which is that RFK Jr. claims autistic children will never go on dates or pay taxes. yeah, it's like,
has he never seen Love on the Spectrum? Like, come on. That's a bad joke.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And I watched, a lot of the video. And yeah, the things he was saying, just making up about, you know, a large group of people. They will never contribute to society. They will never, I mean, I saw a rebuttal to that yesterday, which I thought was quite good. It was like, what you're talking about there is they're not doing capitalism right. And that's why they're a problem. They'll never pay tax. Like, that's one of the things that you said is they'll never pay taxes. So basically what that means is they're of no use because they won't do capitalism right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the selection of people based on genetic. Yeah, he's a eugenicist. Yeah. So I was like, I'd already known he was a bad dude anyway, but then it was only like a couple of days ago that this video surfaced. I'm like, okay, I need to just get off this call because she's a crackpot.
Sure.
And the people around her are crackpots and quacks, and I don't. I'm out, and I'm not going to enable that. And so, you know, I said, "Listen, I'm going to do the due diligence," which I did. I didn't just hang up and say, "Well, that's the end of that." I actually, you know, I did look into it because I'm not the kind of person who's going to be like, "Well, that all smells like bollocks." Let's assume it's bollocks. Like, I tried to do some digging. And she was a little bit like taken aback that I was going to do that. I think I might have been the first person because she'd tried one or two other developers. She'd had a developer before who ended up being too expensive or something. And then she'd had one who was in Switzerland or somewhere who was going to do it and then backed out because he got another gig and couldn't fit it in. And so I think I was the first person who was like, yeah, no, this is like, this isn't just a placebo. The things you're advocating, the people you align with are actually dangerous. And so, there's a whole lot of stuff here. She mentioned it can cure cancer or it can treat cancer, and lots of other things. And so, like, again, I'm just going.
I already knew that there were tons of problems with RFK Jr. before hearing that he was a eugenicist. Didn't know about that, and that's really incredibly troubling. Also, because humans are complex, he does understand how parts of our medical system are broken, and he does have a desire to change things in a way that they probably should be changed. And it's just so frustrating to get such imperfect packages of people to be hoisted up to the top and into the limelight and as our choices for who we vote for, who we can't even vote for. Yeah. Anyways, just vamping while you're searching.
And it's one of these things. And it was clarifying for me because it helped me understand actually, I'm open-minded, but I'm not infinitely wide open.
My vagina is 8 miles wide. Absolutely everyone can come inside.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Stormlight.
Yeah, I'm always gonna err on science. And I'm gonna trust the science, and it's something that we talked about a few weeks ago. Yes, we can have the conversation about capitalists, what it does to studies and the issues that they have there. But yeah, that's all part of the discourse. That's the point, is that people in the scientific field will then try and rebut that. You know, like it's all part of the discourse rather than having a reckon about something.
Of course.
And so, you know, it helped me sort of realize that is where I come down on stuff. And I don't know how much actual science there is in what RFK talks about rather than stuff he reckons, or stuff people close to him reckons. So I ended up asking, I'd done Google search to look this guy up and check his website and stuff. I'd looked at Perplexity to help me sort of sum a few things up as well. And then I went for the slightly more like emotional, question of it all to ChatGPT, and I said, a client of mine who quote unquote really likes Robert Kennedy Jr. unquote and Joe Rogan wants to sell something called metadicol, developed by a guy called Raghavan, whose work has apparently been quote unquote censored. Am I right to be nervous? And it went straight back with, you're absolutely right to be nervous. Trust your instincts here. And sort of, you know, went through some of the red flags. Now, as we know, like ChatGPT will side with you. That tends to be what it does. And so I actually kept digging, and I kept asking more, you know, more questions and trying to get a little bit further in and like get some resources and stuff. And like, it was just none of it looked good. Like basically, because of, again, like science, you can't prove a negative, but there is no, so I can't prove that, I can prove that there isn't enough evidence for the things he's saying.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Yeah. I can't prove like that it's actively bad or it's actively whatever, because that's harder to do, but I can look and you know, it was one of the interesting things, like, so I ended up writing back to her that day, and it was like very shortly after, and said, listen, you know, I'm not your guy, wish you all the best, but you know, I'm not looking to work with you on this because of this. And I didn't like cite sources or anything like that. And she wrote back and she was like, you know, thanks for letting me know. And you know, I think I cited that he's a doctor, he's not a medical doctor, he's a chemist. Which is perfectly valid, but like, I would appreciate someone with a medical degree, you know, someone who practices medicine, not just someone who creates chemicals, to be able to talk about stuff that is medical. And she sort of, her last thing that she shot back was like, his work is listed in this journal listing website, which is like, you know, the like Library of Congress equivalent of, you know, medical journals. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a proper thing.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah, because that's how papers work. And then they get peer reviewed and then they get looked at, like, because something is, you know what I mean? It's like self-publishing, like it just because it's in there. And that's where she'd got taken in. Is really seeing a lot more legitimacy in this fella than you know, there necessarily was. And so, like, yeah, you can't prove somebody's a shyster. Well, maybe you can. I couldn't prove that this guy was a shyster, but I also couldn't find the evidence to back up that this was going to help people.
Yeah,
over and above what a placebo can do,
placebo, you know. Can it's like 50% effective,
yes,
or something like that. So
absolutely, and I'm 100% with you. However, if where it gets pernicious is when you're selling false hope.
Oh, for sure,
And that's and
both the false hope part and the selling part.
yeah.
Can I quickly jokingly slap back on or clap back on the medical doctor versus chemist thing?
Oh yeah, sure.
Selling sugar water.
Oh yeah.
Cause the analogy occurred to me that or the parallel road of another company that sells sugar water that employs chemists and not medical doctors in the products that they sell. Yeah, they don't say that it'll cure cancer, but...
Oh, Coca-Cola does not tell you it's good for you, but the likes so of fine. Like Lucozade and lots of those others absolutely do.
Yeah.
Vitamin 100% water. With you on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because Coca-Cola isn't out here like saying, drink us, we'll make you healthier. Even the Diet Coke, they're not actually actively saying it will make you, it will make you healthier. But those like all those electrolyte drinks that are full of sugar, they absolutely are. So yes, 100%.
And they're like almost the same thing.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so again, TikTok. One of the things that I enjoyed seeing for a while was there was a guy who was I think he was like a brand designer, and he would take on this challenge where people would give him a brand of something unhealthy, and his challenge was to make it into a health food. And it is all branding. It is all positioning.
Oh, 100%,
because of the likes of the FDA and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That you only need certain amounts of a thing, or it only needs to exist in your ingredients for it to be called this. You know, it's like the thing. Was it Oreo is a vegan? Like, sure.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
It's just, you know.
I was looking at, man, I can't remember what it was now. But I was looking at a product and... It like the bottle of it has like 70 servings in it. It's like a little dropper or whatever like that. And so because of the ratio, like you have to have a certain threshold of an ingredient for it to be labeled as a gram with worth in there. And,
but it gets rounded up.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if it's below that whatever threshold, it can say that there's zero in there. 0% even.
Tick, tax.
And then you look at the ingredients and it's the first ingredient. It's the most, thing is sugar. And it says
the
there's
most
zero
thing
sugar,
is sugar
in it.
Title. Tic-tacs are exactly that, because their whole thing was, it's literally a tiny little sugar. It's literally sugar. It's just
literally
compacted
just
sugar.
Yeah.
But it has, they were allowed to say that it only has one calorie or zero calories. Because it didn't wrap the rounding error was such that it didn't constitute a calorie. Fucking mental.
Yep. Look what we've done.
Look what we've done.
And as always, money is an abstraction and is not actual wealth. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks, I guess.